Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. Let's open up our Bibles in the book of John, chapter 15. We'll finish the chapter from verses 12 to 27. John 15, 12. Let's read together. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I had from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So we end chapter 15 with Jesus reiterating a few things that he had told them already. We saw the fruit-bearing relationship that he called people to a few weeks ago. We saw his command to love. If there's anything that he wants us to do, is to love. And then he eventually tells them a bigger secret. He says to them, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. And he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then in 14 he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And verse 15 he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all the things that I had from my Father I have made known to you. We're going to see the friendship that Jesus has with his followers he was speaking to right there, and the friendship he calls us to enjoy. First of all, he says, the friendship that I have for you is such that I am going to lay down my life for you. Anybody has a friend who can die for them? Anyone? Do you have one, at least one friend you know will die for you? If you are to go to prison, they'll offer to go on your behalf? Anyone? You should tell me who that is, so that we send them to prison on your behalf. Or at least we kill them on your behalf. He says, you are my friends. If you obey what I tell you and do them. He says, you're no longer even my servants. You are my friends. Three times he refers to his disciples here as friends. And that is very special. Because we can know God as our Father, great, we are his children. We can know him as Lord. We are servants. We can know him as the Creator. We are his creatures. We can know him in many grand ways, the Almighty. We are nothing, we are weak. But the friendship that he mentions here is actually not mere association, but personal connection. He wants to personally be connected and committed to each one of us. a few things about friendship that I found out as I was preparing for this. Somebody defined friendship as a relationship of mutual affection between two or more people. It's stronger than mere association because it is an interpersonal bond. It's not just interacting with people. It is personally connecting with individuals or groups of individuals. And this person says friendships exist for three reasons: loyalty, commitment, and sharing. Right? All of us are looking for people who are loyal to us, people who will never leave us nor fail us. We're looking for people who are committed to us. That's why we marry them. That's why you're looking for somebody at least to marry, right? Or looking for to be married by somebody. It's a relationship of commitment. Somebody you'll stick with or will stick with you through every weather. And the third is sharing. We're looking for somebody to share our life with. And of course, there are, I think, four or at least five, and most five, I'm told, different personalities. So we have on the extreme these very friendly people, all right? The very first time you meet them, you're friends. And then you have the introverts. It will take you 25 years to be their friend. They just sit there, you know, getting words from them is difficult. You wonder what they're thinking about. They just love their space. However, everybody wants at least a friend to share life with. Whether you're extremely friendly or you're introvert and friendly. Now, a World Happiness Database found out that people with close friendships are actually happier. All right? You have good, close, healthy friendships, you will be healthier in life physically, and friends tend to share common backgrounds, occupations, or even interests. However, sometimes two completely different people with different interests, with different occupations, can as well be very good friends. Somebody else defined friendship or a friend as someone you don't have to see every day to connect with, someone who loves you, whether you talk often or not, someone who would drop everything and run to your rescue when you need them. It is someone you just want to be with. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you are my friends. I'm giving my loyalty to you. I want to be committed to you, and I want to share heaven with you. Isn't that great that Jesus offers to be our friend? Something that everybody looks for. Nobody wants to be alone. We can occasionally want our own space, but we at least need one friend. Jesus offers to be that friend to each one of us. The Bible describes true friendship as when one will be honest even when it hurts. Right in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, the wounds of a friend, a paraphrase, here, can be trusted, but the enemy's kisses are very deceptive. This means that a true friend will tell you the truth. It will tell you what you may not want to hear, instead of just flattering you, instead of just being nice to you. They'll tell you what you want to hear. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That is what Jesus is offering each one of us. He is a friend who wants to love us at all times. He's the friend who loves us at all times. He loves us so much. The Bible says that is the greatest form of love, that he laid down his life for each one of us. That is the first thing that Jesus offers in the friendship that he gives us. I love you so much, and I love you all the time. I love you through the good times and the bad times. Whenever you need me, I'm just a call away. Jesus Christ loves each one of us at all times. If you're looking for somebody to love you, somebody committed to you, and somebody to share everything with you, his name is Jesus Christ. All of us can be his friends. Let's look at the importance of friendships. Research shows that friendships are a very probably the most important emotional part of our well-being. Very important, or even the most important part of our emotional and social well-being throughout life. Right from the time you're born to the time you leave this world, you want somebody to be loyal to you, to be committed to you, to share with you. Our first friends are parents, right? The first people we meet in this world. But at one point, our parents go. We continue life. We have to make friendships. And this research shows that the absence of friendships can be very damaging and dangerous. Sometimes the most disastrous people in this world, if you do your research, have been lonely people, or at least people who wanted to live their life alone. Nobody knows their world. You know people like that? Very dangerous, very damaging, very disastrous. And a British anthropologist, these people who study human behavior and cultures, theorized that there should be at least 150 people in your lifetime that you socially interact with. Some of you have 1,000 or thousands. Virtual friends, not real friends. Facebook friends. However, he says, everybody at least needs 2 friends in this life. If you're married, your wife is probably your best friend, but you have another person that you consider a very good friend. Good friends will have a positive influence on you, all right? You have a good circle of friends. You're going to influence each other either positively or negatively. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9, 2 are better than 1, and it goes on to explain. They can be warm together, they can advise each other, they can do better. They can combine energies and achieve more. All right? In turn, bad friends will actually negatively influence you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, bad company will corrupt good character. All right? Choose your friends carefully. You choose the wrong ones, you become as bad. You choose good friends, you're on a good path. However, we're not just social beings looking for belonging and attachment. We are spiritual beings, right? Regardless of the goodness and the closeness of your earthly friends, we will often feel lonely. You may have so many good friends. You may have a very good friend who will satisfy your social need, but they will not satisfy your spiritual need. They will fail. And all of us cannot satisfy each other's spiritual need. No one can satisfy our emotional, social, and spiritual needs apart from Jesus Christ. We are social beings. Yes, we need friends. We need people around us. But more than just social, we are spiritual. And that's why Jesus offers himself to be a friend who will never disappoint you. A friend you can tell the best well-kept secret of your life, and it's okay with it. Regardless of how close our best friend is, there are things that we don't tell them. True? Yeah. There are things that we keep to ourselves. And that's why Jesus says, all right, if you can't tell that to your best friend, you can't tell that to your wife, please tell me. I will handle it. You may tell her and she blows up, and she loses her head, he loses his head. Just tell me. I'm going to be the person you can confide in, and it's okay. You can have so many friends, even in a crowd as large as this, as many as hundreds of friends. But even in a crowd, you can be extremely lonely. Because you're not just a social being. We are spiritual beings. And we need a spiritual friend. His name is Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Jesus is the one friend who is almost going to be like oil and perfume to your heart. He's going to tell you wisdom, counsel, advice that you cannot get anywhere on this world. Again, I say we may have very good friends, very wise friends, but at one point, the advice that you need cannot be found anywhere else apart from in Jesus Christ. All right? That's why he supersedes every earthly friendship. There's nobody we can have in our lives who will give us wisdom compared to ointment and perfume for our hearts apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he tells them there, did you read that? I no longer call you servants, right? Because a servant does not even know what his master may be up to. But I call you friends. I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. Everything. He tells us everything that we need to know about heaven and earth. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Jesus wants to be that friend that shapes us into the people we have to be. In earthly friendships, there is conflict, all right? And we so often don't deal with those conflicts very well. It could be disappointment, could be betrayal, it could be anything. And we often do not deal with those disappointments and conflicts very well. All right? And Jesus offers himself to be the one who sharpens us. Who sharpens us as iron sharpens iron. And he says, so our countenance may look good. All of us are looking for a faithful friend, right? A committed friend, a loyal friend, a sharing friend. Who makes those friends? I mean, who in this world causes those people to be loyal, committed, and sharing? It's Jesus. If you want to be a good friend to somebody else, Jesus is going to make you that good friend, right? We are looking for a good friend. They have to be made in heaven. They cannot be made in China. They will disappoint us. God himself is the one who makes them and shapes them like iron sharpens iron. Jesus Christ is the one most important friend to sharpen us for even other friendships that we may have. Thirdly, let's look at making friends. How do you make friends? Whether you have two or hundreds, friendships are made by repeatedly encountering someone informally or intentionally and having or creating opportunities to share ideas, personal feelings with each other, right? So you make some intentions or you just keep meeting until you intentionally make time to share, you know, time and feelings and everything. However, some friendships thrive even when there is so much distance, all right? You can make friends with people on the other side of the world, even when you've never met. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 24, the first part says, a man who has many friends is himself friendly, all right? You're looking for friends? You have to be friendly yourself, all right? You're looking for a friend like Jesus Christ, are you friendly to him? Do you make either formal, informal, or intentional effort to talk to him, to share your heart with him, share your feelings with him, share your plans and dreams with him? Do you go on a date with Jesus Christ? In James chapter 2, verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. What did Abraham do? He believed. He rested his confidence in the Lord. And eventually the Bible says he was called a friend of God. How often do you talk to him? Do you even believe in him? Do you believe he is the one speaking right now in the scriptures? Do you believe he can handle everything that you're going through, do you really believe that what he's saying is true? Do you believe him? That is the first step to making friendship with Jesus Christ. Resting all our confidence in him. All right? And tell you what, even in earthly friendships, that is very important, right? Somebody needs to know that you trust them. The moment there is a little bit of distorted trust, the friendship won't be as good. But once you know that somebody trusts you and they know that you trust them, good friendship. In a way you believe in them. All right? The beginning of the making of this friendship that Jesus talks about is just believing in him. All right? He tells them that, look here, you're going to be hated. They hate me, they're going to hate you. Don't think it's going to be any different. They beat me, they're going to beat you. They reject me, they're going to reject you. They question me, they're going to question you. All you have to do is know that regardless of what you're going through, I am just a step away from anything you want. Just believe in me. By belief in Jesus Christ, this man conquered the world. We believe in Jesus Christ, there's nothing that can stand on the way that he won't empower us to conquer. Jesus Christ is always available. He's close, so close to listen to our hearts and minds. And friends, let us make informal, formal, and intentional time to talk with him. Now, this is the sad part of friendships. The fourth part. All friendships in this world end, sadly. All. Either by fading quietly away or suddenly, instantly. It could be distance, some form of separation, loss of interest. Do you remember the friends that you once shared interest with, but over time, the older you grow, you don't have much in common anymore? Betrayal, have you been betrayed? And that moment you say, all right, you betrayed me, you're done. I'm done with you. Not my friend anymore. Death, ultimately. You can have your closest friend, your best friend, and we want them to last forever, don't we? But at one point, the friendship comes to an end. And if that person was close to you, more close to you than Jesus is, then your world literally crashes. God gives us friends, all right? Partners, business partners, gives us spouses. But who knows when God will take them? And if that person is your best friend, apart from Jesus Christ, it's going to be very crushing when that relationship ends. And sometimes we get so attached to people. It's just our nature, right? We sometimes get so attached to people, we forget God. We forget that it is God who gave us that person. And what happens when God allows that person to go? Some people lose their minds. They never recover from the pain, the grief that they feel. The friendship that Jesus offers will never end. Even when we end all our earthly friendships, when we have Jesus Christ as our best friend, we have a friend forever. All right? He is our best friend forever. BFF. In Proverbs chapter 18, 24, the second part, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. He should be the closest to us. We should be the closest to him. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. I want a king for a friend. All right? Who doesn't want a king for a friend? Who doesn't want to know somebody very prominent in this world for a friend? You kind of want to pose with them and take a picture and show everybody, he's my friend. All right? I even have his phone number. Who doesn't want that? All of us want to, all right? We always want to identify with somebody who is more influential than us. Jesus says to them in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. If you obey me, you are my friends." We just read then Proverbs 22:11, "He who loves purity of heart and grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." You can be thinking about all the friendships you have and all the friendships that you'll make based on interests, based on work, based on even differences, all right? Do you like that friend that always has a different opinion than you? Like when you just want to have an argument for fun, you talk to them. You obviously know they're going to be completely on the other side of the argument just for the fun of it. All right? Loyalty, commitment, and sharing. All of us are looking for it. And we will never find it anywhere apart from in Jesus Christ. Well, now you know that I'm the one who requested that song, My Forever Friend. He's our forever friend, paraphrase from that song. He is our leave me never friend. From darkest night to rainbow's end, he is our forever friend. Even when we turn away from Jesus Christ, he cares for us. His love no one can shake. Even when we walk away, he's by our side. With every breath we take, his will never forsake us. And sometimes we even forget him. Maybe some of you have forgotten him. Sometimes we fail to shine. Sometimes we are not his very good friends. But he still remains our friend. Sometimes we forsake and betray him, but he is always ours. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for that one friend, we know him, right? And if your friendships are misplaced, if you are trusting in earthly friendships more than heavenly friendships, it's time that we turn our eyes to this perfect friend, Jesus Christ. If you do not know him, today, right now, you can say, "Jesus, I want that friendship. I want you to be my friend. Come, Lord." Jesus offers that friendship to anyone who wants it. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for offering the greatest form of friendship ever to each one of us. Because you made us and you know that we need it. We need somebody to be attached to. Lord, we need someone who is loyal. Lord, we need someone who will share everything with us. You are that one person. You demonstrate the greatness of your love for us by dying on the cross. You demonstrate your greatness of your love for us by serving each one of us every day, by listening to each one of us every day, by sharing heaven with us when we live here, by always being there for us. Lord, we disappoint each other. We will fail. But you never fail. All we have to do is believe in you. Lord, we just want to rest in you afresh today. We just want to confide in you today. Lord, you're the one who knows what is happening in our hearts, even when we don't tell anyone. Lord, we want to be your friends. Lord, we want to accept that friendship. And we accept it, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. We receive your truth. We receive you. We receive your word. We receive your strength. We receive your counsel and wisdom. We receive your comfort and healing, Lord. We receive compassion and strength. Lord, thank you so much that you are willing and able to be our friends even when we fail you. Thank you so much for that, because we fail you all the time. We often forsake you. We often run away from you. And thank you so much for always receiving us, always having your hands open to give us a hug, to embrace us. Thank you so much for the friendship that you offer us forever. Jesus, you are our best friend. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.